This message comes from NPR sponsor Discover. Get the service you deserve with 24/7 U.S.-based live customer service from Discover. Everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/creditcard.
Hello and welcome to Car Talk on National Public Radio with us, Click and Clack, the Tappet Brothers. And we're broadcasting this week from the Truth in Advertising division here at Car Talk Plaza. Don't ask me what happened to my voice.
What happened to you? I asked you not to.
But before we get into Truth in Advertising, yeah. I want to wish all of our listeners happy holidays. Happy Hanukkah, Merry Christmas, good Kwanzaa. And for those of you agnostics out there, have a nice day.
Or don't. What the heck?
What do we care?
Actually, I wanted to talk about advertising because there are a couple of ads that I've heard.
Are you going to get sued or in trouble again?
No, I just wonder. It's just a matter of I'm wondering.
Was this amusing?
Sometimes they say things and they don't like finish the thought and they leave you, what?
Wondering. Go ahead.
Here's one. US Air was running an ad early this year and they said, by the way, are they one of the underwriters of our show? Too bad.
They are.
They asked a rhetorical question. Which airline took off more times last year than any other airline? Now, what does that make you wonder? Does it make you wonder anything?
Who was second?
I want to know how many times did they land? And were the number of landings at least equal, if not greater than, the number of takeoffs? The other one was our buddies, AMCO, which stands for something automatic transmission company, AMCO. I don't know. They're trying to encourage people to come in and get their transmissions checked out. Everyone knows this, right? Mm. Because they said, just come in, get it checked. Now, they must know that everybody's afraid to go into a place like AMCO to get their transmission checked because they're going to walk out with what? A new transmission. And without what? $1,000, right? So in this ad, AMCO's trying to reassure its prospective customers by saying, I more or less will quote, sort of quote, half of all the cars that come into AMCO don't need a new transmission. See, that's trying to make us feel good. But the question is, but did they sell you one anyway? I was just wondering. I don't know. And I'm sure that AMCO will let us know about that.
Oh, I'm sure. Probably in a terse note from their attorneys.
Yes.
If you want to call us about your car or anything else, our number is one. And I mean that in all honesty.
Yeah.
Anything else.
And also, we always say, if you have a question, you don't have to have a question. You can simply have a comment. We've discussed this on a few occasions. What if somebody wanted to rant and rave, didn't have any question? I mean, what if somebody from Montana wanted to call and just talk? Wouldn't we take the call? Of course we would.
Right. So how long would it be before you'd hang up on that person?
So if you want to talk to us, just talk. What's the number?
Our number is 1-800-332-9287. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
This is Colonel Craig T. Reap, Chief of the Montana Highway Patrol.
How you doing? What's your last name?
Reap, R-E-A-P.
Oh, yeah, the Grim Reaper.
There you go.
Yeah, so how are you, Colonel?
Well, I'm doing fine. I heard your show on December 2nd.
Yeah.
And I wanted to get some equal time, if possible, and explain to you that we're not wacko out here, and we do have a handle on this speed limit issue.
You do?
Yes.
Well, I would love to hear it.
Okay. Well,
go ahead.
Well, first of all,
give you a little bit of history as to what we had prior to the mandate, and then I'll explain what effect the repeal had.
Yeah. For those of you who didn't hear the show that the Colonel is referring to, I guess I did a little ranting and raving.
A little.
Because the state of Montana, the great state of Montana, has decided in its infinite wisdom that speed limits on the roads are basically unnecessary, and anybody, and I think I referred to them as morons, any moron from Montana, which is almost alliterative there, can get on the roads and drive at any damn speed he or she wants. This could be any moron, not a specific moron, but any moron. So now Colonel Reap is going to explain why I'm the moron. Is that it?
Yes, that's what I'm going to try to do.
Excellent.
Okay, here's what's going on here. Now, prior to the mandate, we had as our basic speed enforcement tool during the day what we call the basic rule. And that required that the driver operate their vehicle in a reasonable and prudent manner depending on the conditions that are existing at the point of operation.
Yeah.
So then the mandate came in effect in 74, and that limited to 55 miles per hour, of course, on all roadways. It was very unpopular in Montana. And, of course, the argument was that it was caused because of the shortage of fuel.
Yeah.
So the Montana legislature called it that, an energy conservation violation.
Got it.
Now, as far as the penalty went on that, they allowed only a $5 fine. There was no jail time. It was not a misdemeanor. There was no effect on a person's driving record.
Oh, so even though there was a 55-mile-an-hour speed limit, the basic sense
the spirit of
Montanans was that there shouldn't be a speed. You never thought there should have been a speed limit. Is that it?
Yes, that's correct.
So that even though it was federally mandated that the speed limit be 55, you and Montana basically said, the hell with everybody else. We'll, if they insist that we make it illegal to drive over 55, we'll make the penalty as lenient as possible, because in our hearts, we don't believe in this.
That's exactly what the attitude of the legislature was.
And you're the legislature.
Yes.
But you're in the state police.
That's right. Okay, I'll get to that.
We'll get to that. Okay.
As we continue on here. Okay, so for 21 years or so, we were using this violation as a means to control speed.
Yeah.
And, of course, it didn't have too much of a deterrent effect.
Obviously,
right. So we tried several times at the legislature to get the fine and the penalty increased so that it would have that deterrent effect, and we could use it as an effective tool to reduce speed and thus prevent accidents.
We mean the law enforcement community.
Exactly.
Okay.
Traffic safety in general, law enforcement, other traffic safety agencies in the state.
So you don't necessarily, you personally don't necessarily agree with the legislature.
No, we didn't at that time, and I'll tell you why.
Mm-hmm.
It was a very frustrating thing for us because of the lack of deterrent. We saw it also as a cause of a loss of respect for traffic laws in general and of our agency in particular.
Yeah.
Okay, so where do you stand now?
Okay, here's what we did. We supported the lifting of the mandate, and the reason that we did is because we hope now that we can go back to the legislature in 97 with a reasonable speed and a reasonable penalty structure that suits Montana.
What do you think the speed limit should be on the highways in Montana?
Well, the numbers that we're working at right now, we're basing that on the 85th percentile, which of course means that 85% of the vehicles travel at that speed or lower.
Yeah.
And the interstate right now is indicating to us that it's in the area of 72 miles an hour.
Mm-hmm.
So that means that that's a pretty reasonable speed for most people. And I think that that's some area that we can start at.
Well, I wish you the best of luck, but I have to disagree with just about everything you've said.
Really?
Well, because, first of all, I don't believe that the 85% rule makes any sense. Just because 85% of the people decide that they should be driving at 100 miles an hour, would you then say that's a reasonable speed? It's the speed at which people want to drive. When you make laws, you're not supposed to make laws on the basis of what people want to do. You're supposed to make them on the basis of what is right for the whole society. Secondly, reasonable
and when you do a speed limit study, that 85th percentile is one of the main tenets of that whole study.
Oh, I know, and many, many states do the very same thing. They use the 85% rule because most people want to drive at the speed, so let's make that the speed limit.
Including the legislators.
Mostly the legislators. The second point is this reasonable and prudent rule is absolute nonsense because most people, when they get behind the wheel of a car, have no reason and are not prudent.
Well,
and you can't rely on them to do what is the right thing because they either don't know what the right thing is because they're too damn stupid, or they don't care because they are legislators.
Now, I would disagree with that, all of that, because we have seen here that most people here do know what that means, and they do understand the law, and because of the possibility of being charged and convicted of that violation, they do drive in a reasonable and prudent manner.
You know, the problem is that you can't control anything because there may be many people who are reasonable and prudent, but the truth of the matter is if the speed limit is 100 miles an hour or 75 miles an hour, then you're allowing any moron to drive at that speed.
Well,
I commend you because I think you should be the guys who go out there and have some speed limit that you can enforce, because you're exactly right. When you started this, you said what happens is people lose respect for not just speed limit laws. They lose respect for all laws, and that's what the problem is. If we make a law that says the speed limit, and everyone knows what that word means, is such and such, and then the police don't enforce it, think about all the teenagers who are out there driving saying, ah, no one enforces this law.
Or if it's enforced in such a ludicrous manner as to give somebody a $5 ticket
fine.
For going 120 miles an hour.
That's right. And then people, because they have no respect for that law, they have no respect for other laws as well. And what are we doing as adults? We're supposed to be teaching kids something, not allowing them to run rampant, killing everybody and doing any damn thing they please. And you're the guy who's going to go out there and straighten out those legislators.
So kick some butt, Colonel.
Kick some butt, Colonel, and I'll come out there and help you.
I'm glad I had a chance to calm you down and...
you're a sweet guy. What's your first name?
Craig.
Craig. Uh-huh. Thanks a million for calling, Craig. I really appreciate it.
Thank you. It was an honor to be on your show.
It's an honor to talk to you.
See you later.
Thanks again.
Bye-bye. I just wanted to add,
regarding
the 85% rule, that we you run the risk when you do that. I mean, one of the reasons that we elect leaders...
Exactly.
Is that the leaders are supposed to have the wisdom to do the kinds to do the right things where you can't trust the average citizen. You know, and I see the bumper sticker slogan, if the people lead, the leaders will follow. That is the stupidest thing I've ever. I don't want the people to lead. The average person
but that's
is
what
stupid.
And you know what's called?
And I don't want the average person to lead. I would like to think that the people we elect to lead us are smarter and will do the right thing in spite of what the people want to do.
You finally have arrived.
I rest my case.
I don't know how we're going to do it, but that's why I've been trying to become Philosopher King.
Yeah, but you're a jerk. No one will let you become Philosopher King. You can't be Philosopher King if you're a jerk.
You can be the state legislator.
We'll be right back with the answer to the puzzler right after these messages. This message comes from NPR sponsor Discover. Tired of not being able to get a hold of anyone when you have questions about your credit card? With 24/7 U.S.-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. So the next time you have a question about your credit card, call 1-800-DISCOVER to get the service you deserve. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/creditcard.
This message comes from NPR sponsor Hulu. Dive into the chilling new Hulu original series, Under the Bridge, the riveting adaptation of the acclaimed true crime book. Based on shocking true events, Under the Bridge tells the haunting story of a murder that lays bare a small community's darkest secrets. Go deep into the hidden world of the town's tormented teenagers as detectives race to solve the sinister crime. Starring Riley Keough and Lily Gladstone, Under the Bridge is now streaming with new episodes Wednesdays, only on Hulu.
This message comes from NPR sponsor BetterHelp. When you keep your stress bottled up, it can eat away at you. Therapy is a safe space to get things off your chest and to figure out how to make them better. Try BetterHelp Online Therapy, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Get it off your chest with BetterHelp. At BetterHelp.com/NPR today to get 10% off your first month.
Hey, do you remember Neil the Real Deal Scalapino?
I certainly do.
Cristoforo Crusty Crustini?
Lost his oil and the engine revved up and... was that last week's puzzle?
Yeah. No.
No, that was 6 weeks ago. I know.
I know. And you have no idea what last week's puzzle is, nor do I, so I'm going to go look it up. Wait a minute. Here it is.
Yeah.
A customer of ours was driving her... car on vacation someplace.
Oh.
She was quite a ways from home, maybe like 50 miles or so.
Right. I remember
and
this.
And I think I mentioned that she was driving a front-wheel drive car, but I don't remember.
Okay.
Anyway, whilst driving along, she hears this awful crashing, crunching, thudding sound, and she realizes that her car is no longer moving, even though the engine is running and the thing is in gear. And she coasts to the side of the road and, gets out War and Peace and waits for the tow truck to come.
Got it.
The truck shows up and tows her to the local gas station where the attendant puts the car on the lift and says, aha, you have a broken axle.
Oh, I remember
that. That's why your car won't move.
Yeah.
And that's why you heard those awful noises. To which she responds, oh, what's that going to cost? He looks it up and says, it's going to cost you like $500 or $600 to replace that axle.
Yeah, and she knows that since she's more than 50 miles from home, that that's at right. least double what it's worth.
If I remember correctly, she said, "Kind sir, take your axle and stick it back on the shelf because I'm not going to pay that kind of money for an axle."
And he says, she "But apparently, your car won't move without it, lady."
Right. Well, she apparently knows a few things about repair costs, and I think she realizes that she's going to about to be ripped off. Mm-hmm. And she decides to find a way to get herself back home without the new axle.
Mm.
So she goes in her trunk, where she has, obviously, what? No tools. But she has the kind of junk typically found in a trunk. You know, a couple of empty pizza boxes. Two slices left in each box.
A catalytic converter.
Tire iron, a jack for jacking up the car, a blanket, a broken bicycle chain, and, of course, mm-hmm. a copy of War and Peace, which she had been reading.
Yeah.
Anyway, she manages to drive the 50 miles back home without fixing or replacing the broken axle. You got that?
I do have it.
She does not repair, nor does she replace the broken axle, and there are two hints. It's a front-wheel drive car, and it's not a four-wheel drive car. Because you could say, oh, for a four-wheel drive, she put it in four-wheel drive and used the rear wheels to...
Sure, but it's not a four-wheel drive car.
No, in fact, right now it's a no-wheel drive car.
No-wheel drive. And the question... reason it's no-wheel drive is because all the power is going to the wheel that won't turn.
Right. Mm. Differentials will do that.
Differentials will do that, as we well know.
We've had several differential puzzlers.
Yes, we have.
Over the years.
Yes.
So the question is...
How'd she do it?
How does she get home with a broken axle?
And part B, where does she live?
Well, what she does, she realizes when she looks with the engine running and the thing in gear, she looks down and she realizes that axle is just...
Spinning around,
and it's making all those noises. And she realizes, in fact, that if that axle weren't turning,
the
other axle would be turning.
Exactly. Exactement.
So what she does is she uses the jack, not to jack up the car, but to wedge the axle between the jack and the frame of the car so that the axle cannot turn. Or she could have used the bicycle chain. She could have used any number
anything.
Of those things, even that copy of War and Peace, as thick as it is. Anything
right.
she could do to wedge that axle so it will not turn will force the other wheel to turn so she will have a one-wheel drive car.
Which will go.
Which will go.
Exactly.
Yeah. Do we have a winner?
The winner this week is Debbie Good from Springfield, Mo, Missouri. And for knowing how the customer got home, our pal Debbie will get a copy of our meteoric.
Remember, truth in advertising.
All right, our mediocre new cassette CD, The Best of Car Talk, which features some of the best calls we can remember from previous Car Talk shows. Of course, we can only remember about 2 weeks back, so the calls aren't all that good, but that's the way it goes.
Hey.
It is a CD.
Now, by the way.
Yeah. By the way, what?
If you didn't win the puzzler.
I didn't.
And you want a copy of The Best of Car Talk, you can call our Shameless Commerce Division. The number there is 303. Every week, Dougie tells me to go more slowly.
Well, he gets all these nasty letters from
5-9-er-5 5-9-er-0-5
Fiver.
And we'll give that number again ad nauseum towards the end of the show if you missed it. Anyway, we have another, I consider interesting, historic
Ooh.
New puzzler coming up during the second half of the show today. So stay tuned for that, if for nothing else. In the meantime, if you'd like to call us, the number is 1-800-332-9287. And remember, we're prepared to discuss anything with the same level of authority and expertise
which we discuss. That's a given.
Cars.
Yes.
Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hi.
Hi.
My name is Vincent from Vince Christini from Leominster, Massachusetts.
Vince Christini?
Yes.
Get out.
Christini, as in Krusty?
No, as in Christini.
Oh, Christini.
Oh, Christini.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes, Vincent, what can we do for you?
I have an 86 Suburban that refuses to go up hills.
Mm. Uh-huh.
Yeah.
It has quite a number of miles on it, but it's in great shape. And this happened only about a year ago, and quite disturbing to me.
Is quite a number, like 150K?
About 225.
225K. Yeah. How many engine rebuilds have you had done?
None.
Zero.
It's time. It could well be. I mean, this thing has been gradually losing power for the last year?
Yes.
And have you had anyone take a look at it?
I brought it to a local Chevy dealer.
Yeah.
And he told me that there was some blow-by.
Yeah.
And he suggested he advanced the timing so I would get some acceleration out of it.
Yeah.
But he said it might. He doesn't know how long it would last.
Oh, so this thing's a real heap.
Well, it's in great shape.
No.
Well, that means it still has windows, and it doesn't have rust up to the windows.
It doesn't have rust, period.
No kidding.
Right.
Yeah, well, I think I had an 86 Suburban.
No.
66.
56.
One of those sixes.
Would you be averse to spending a couple of G's to rebuild the engine?
Well, this is my dilemma. I was wondering if I should go with a rebuild, something from a yard, or, you know, I think GM has, like, this Target engine that they
yes.
sell.
Yes, yep.
The amount of money that you spend is a function of how much you love this thing and how much you drive and how much you can afford and how long you want to keep it and all that stuff.
Right.
But and you know the choices. It ranges all the way from going to the local junkyard, the Lemonster Used Auto Parts and Junk Department, and for hundreds of dollars, you can get an engine, which is not rebuilt, of course, and you can get some mechanic for, again, hundreds of dollars to put it in. Not low hundreds, but high hundreds.
Uh-huh.
But at least we're still talking hundreds and not thousands. You might end up spending $1,000.
Right.
With that option.
Yeah, the difference is 2,000 versus 1,000.
Yeah.
Right.
But a rebuilt engine, a factory rebuilt engine, which you can get from Mr. Goodwrench there, is probably going to outlive the one you buy from the boneyard.
Oh.
Right.
Of course.
You know, how much did Mr. Goodwrench want? Did he say?
25? 17, and with the work would run me around 25.
Yeah.
Go for it.
Sure. I mean, I would do that if I had a Suburban that was in as great shape as you pretend this one is.
No, right. No, I'm serious.
Does your seeing eye dog like the Suburban too? No, do you?
I usually carry it everywhere I go. But it is in real good shape. And this is my dilemma. I was going to sell it, and I keep looking at it and saying, but it's in such great shape. It's just an engine.
Yeah.
But recently another dilemma happened. I went to back it up, and it wouldn't go back. Oh. And I don't know what's going on now.
Well, take it to AMCO. You know, only half of the people who go into AMCO actually need a new transmission.
I've heard that before. I've heard that before.
Well, all right. Maybe you can work a deal with them. I mean, if they're going to take the engine out, they might as well pull the tranny. It's only six more bolts. So if you're going to pull the tranny, you might as well get that rebuilt.
Yeah.
And if you're going to do all this, you might as well throw a catalytic converter in it, because with 200 and something thousand miles, you burn that thing up.
Sure.
Yeah, I would probably. Yeah.
Most of your catalytic converter is now on Route 2.
Yeah. Well, parts of it are Route 2, 128.
Yeah. Yeah. So when you add it all up, it's going to cost you $3,500. And you're going to have a practically brand new truck until the front end falls apart.
No, but a new one costs $30,000.
Well,
yeah.
I'm at a point here where, you know, I'm wondering, like you say, you know, how much longer will it be before some other element of this transportational mode winds up?
No, but see, you will have replaced all the really big expensive pieces.
Right.
Right, and then you'll be in the unique position to get nickel and dimed on all the other stuff.
For the rest of your life. And you keep saying, well, I can't junk it now. I got $3,500 invested in it.
And this is what we count on
it's
in the repair business.
The sunk cost syndrome.
Right, we count on this. Once you do those biggies,
yeah,
you're in for the little ones forever.
Yeah. But it's worth it. It's worth every cent, because don't forget, at $30,000, you're paying the bank $400 a month.
Right, and don't forget, you're not just rebuilding the engine. You are creating another boat owner.
That's right. And there's a lot of ocean out there in Lemonster, so live it up.
See you, Vince.
Thanks for calling, Vincent.
Thank you very much.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
He's lucky.
He is. Don't go anywhere. Stick around for more calls and the new puzzler coming right up.
This message comes from NPR sponsor Viore, a new perspective on performance apparel. Clothing designed with premium fabrics, built to move in, styled for life. For 20% off your first purchase, go to viore.com/NPR. Support for NPR and the following message come from the American Cancer Society.
Dr. Alpa Patel leads a team that researches cancer risk factors, and she shares how her team makes an impact.
We always do what we like to think of as actionable science. So the work that we do makes its way to things like nutrition and physical activity guidelines for cancer.org, where millions of people come each year to learn about how they can better prevent cancer.
To learn more, go to cancer.org. This message comes from NPR sponsor Teladoc Health. There are lots of reasons for wanting to be healthy: family, work, living a fuller life. Teladoc Health understands. Whether you have diabetes, high blood pressure, or just need to manage your weight, Teladoc Health can help. Visit teladochealth.com/whatsyourwhy for more information. That's teladochealth/whatsyourwhy. This message comes from NPR sponsor Progressive. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit their website to get a quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, and their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. Then just choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Hi, we're back.
They listening. Couldn't even afford the place.
Listen to Car Talk on National Public Radio with us, Click and Clack, the Tamper Brothers. We're here to discuss. You know what we're laughing about is when you're driving places like Montana, and I've driven other places where the speed limit isn't enforced, like Nevada, they have these signs that say,
Speed checked by
flying aircraft. Like, they got Sky King up there watching you go 10 miles an hour over the speed limit. They're going to zoom down and say, gotcha.
Gotcha. They're going to fine you $5. Wouldn't even pay for the gas. Never mind paying for the airplane.
Anyway, we're here to discuss cars, car repair, and more on the morons from Montana.
I mean, I didn't know that the good colonel was going to call us, and I have chosen a nice little letter here from one of the non-morons, actually, in Montana. Get this. This is from Lois, who shows is not otherwise to be identified, perhaps. I don't know. Dear Click and Clack, as a Montana driver, I say, rave on. It is the height of utter idiocy that as of next week, we will have no daytime speed limit in Montana. When she wrote this, this was early December. This lack of speed restrictions, nay, of even speed suggestions, applies not just to interstate highways, of which the most fatality-strewn section of the entire country is in our fair state. Get that now. The most fatality-strewn section of the entire country is in our fair state, but also for all the windy mountain roads and country lanes.
How about windy?
Windy. That's what she must mean.
Yeah, could that's be.
What, it's the same it's word, isn't
it? A little ambiguous.
Windy mountain roads. And have you seen our state roads and highways? They are semi-paved versions of horse and buggy byways, narrow, pothole-bedecked lanes with the white lines, when visible, painted on the gravel as it slants down acutely into the ever-present roadside ditch. The idiocy doesn't stop there. The law states that we are to drive at a speed that is safe and prudent for the existing conditions. Safe and prudent. Yes, these are the words that pop into my mind when I think of our newly licensed, hormone-revved, 15-year-old, yes, 15-year-old drivers. You can drive a car when you're 15 years old.
Yes, they want to nip them in the butt in Montana.
You can take a 15-year-old kid and put him on the road and let him drive at 100 miles an hour. Fine. And just thinking of what the donors of Montana will do with this new highway freedom is enough to keep a person off the roads. But wait. Perhaps I'm being selfish here. Overpopulation is a problem, even here in big sky countries. You know, we said this. Maybe this is no speed limit thing. This is a Darwinian attempt at population control by our far-sighted legislature.
I believe so.
And just think of the jobs created. We do need jobs here in rural America. There will be lots of call for new ambulance drivers, EMTs. Even the mechanics will get more work repairing the ambulances. The construction industry will boom with the building of more hospital emergency rooms and mortuaries. Doctors, nurses, blah, 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 blah. More jobs. You know, I guess I had this whole issue wrong. Sure, lots more folks will die on Montana's roads, but think of the good that results
from this. The job opportunities.
Incredible job creation for whoever survives, and all those healthy young body parts to be donated to prolong life in other states where they value such things. Signed, Lois Lynn from Whitefish, Montana.
All right, is it time for the new puzzler?
Yeah, a rollicking new puzzler.
Well, I wouldn't say it's rollicking. Did I even say it was good?
Yeah, well, you said
historic.
Interesting.
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 Okay, this is an historic puzzler of sorts. Well, mm-hmm. not of sorts. It is an historic puzzler.
Yeah.
Isn't of historic proportions.
In other words, nobody will remember it next week.
That's right. I'm going to do this. You remember Paul Harvey? He may still do this. The rest of the story. I'm going to give you some of the essential components of the story, and you were to fill in the missing details.
Nice new little twist. I like
it. Okay. I stole this from Jay Spencer.
Good. He doesn't care.
It's a she.
She doesn't
probably
care.
Doesn't care either. Jay period Spencer.
Oh.
You know.
I thought it was J-A-Y.
Making enough noise. Okay.
Yeah. Got it.
Henry was born in 1761 in Britain. At the age of 18, he joined the army, and by the age of 22... he had achieved the rank of second lieutenant.
Yeah.
At this time, he started working on a new weapon. And I will put the word weapon in quotes.
Yeah.
Okay. Because
did she?
No.
Oh.
Erroneously.
Yeah. Okay.
Well, I mean, it is a weapon, but it is not what you would consider a weapon.
Okay, so you didn't want to confuse the issue. You wanted to give us every
available
clue and hint that you possibly could.
Right.
Thanks.
Okay. He devoted all of his spare time and much of his money to the project. 20 years later, his new anti-personnel, quote, weapon was adopted by the British, and Henry was subsequently promoted to lieutenant, or lieutenant colonel.
Ooh, from a lieutenant to lieutenant colonel?
Well, it took 20 years, during which time he was doing KP.
Yeah.
The weapon was named after its inventor, not the Henry. Uh-huh. Henry's last name. And if I were to give you his last name,
you'd know.
You might know the answer.
Sure.
Okay.
Is it Sherman?
No, it is not Thompson either. He did not invent the Thompson submachine gun. Remember, this is 1761.
Yeah. Well, it's 20 years after that. 1781.
Well, he began, right. 20 years after that. It's about 1950, actually.
Yeah.
The rest of the story is he was eventually promoted to lieutenant general and died in 1802 at the age of 41. And he was never paid for his invention. But I will add that his invention is still used to this day. And even though when you hear the word, you won't recognize it as being an invention of a weapon, so to speak. But it is a term that all of us have heard. His last name.
Wow.
I mean, I think it's rather.
That's good.
Rather rollicking, if I may say so myself. Now,
I like it. I do like it.
Now, if you think you know the answer, write it on a postcard or the back of a $20 bill and mail it to us at Puzzler Tower, Car Talk Plaza, Box 3500, Harvard Square, Cambridge.
Our fair city.
MA 02238. And if we choose your answer at random, et cetera, and you catch us, we'll send you a copy of the best of Car Talk on cassette or CD just in time for like a Christmas present. Not this Christmas, but
some Christmas.
Anyway, if you'd like to call us, the number is 1-800-332-9287. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hi, this is Heidi Haugen. I'm calling from Ithaca, New York.
Hi, Heidi. That's a nice name, isn't it? Are you a little goody two shoes, as your name would imply?
Oh, sometimes.
Or are you a wild, crazy woman?
Sometimes that too.
So what's up, Heidi?
Well, I've got a 1986 Lincoln Town Car, and it's got a non-automotive problem.
Oh,
really?
Yeah, it's more of a social problem.
I can see that already too. Your father gave you this car when he bought his 95, and your friends don't think you should be driving it.
Well, that's a good guess, but it's not quite it. It's the car itself that has a social problem.
Oh, the car does.
Oh, it does. Uh-huh. Has a flatulence problem?
No. It's not very good friends with a bird in my backyard. There's a male robin that pecks at it every morning and every evening.
No kidding.
Yeah. Well, you know, it's a ground feeder, and it hops around the backyard looking for worms and bugs and stuff and protects its territory. And then it comes over to the car, and it sees another robin in the lower chrome panel, you know, on the side of the car.
Oh, sure.
Yeah, and it attacks the bird that it sees.
It's trying to give it a little peck on the cheek.
Yeah, and darned if the other robin in the chrome panel doesn't attack back right at the same time.
Yes.
Really?
Yeah.
How convenient.
So this robin keeps attacking the other bird and my car for hours on end.
No kidding.
My question is...
So you have a million little dents in that...
Actually, it doesn't really make any dents, or at least I haven't seen any, because it's just a tiny little bird, but at the same time, it's beating its brains out. And my dad figures I have two choices, either sell the car or shoot the bird.
Well, I think... No, I don't think that isn't a choice. You can drop a cement block on him.
The Audubon Society's gonna love you. Well, I mean, you could paint the car. I mean, this is interesting.
No, it's only that chrome piece that's right on the very
bottom.
The
rocker panel.
Yeah, the rocker. Well, not even the rocker panel. It's about a quarter of the door, isn't it?
Right. It's sort of at the very bottom, and it points down.
Right. So the bird looks up and says, "Hey, you."
Yeah.
Peck, 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 peck.
Exactly.
Gee, we heard recently of a horse that ate a Subaru.
It was a Tercel, but it...
Whatever.
It didn't quite eat it. It ate the paint.
It ate the paint.
Yeah.
Maybe there's some big conspiracy going on. Maybe animals are...
Rebelling
against all the cars. I mean, don't forget, cars have really taken over.
Right.
That could be.
Michael Crichton will be on this in the morning.
I mean, you could see why the horse would be particularly upset. I mean, his whole status... The status of the horse has been greatly diminished by the
automobile.
The onset of the automobile.
So the horse has a particular axe to grind, so to speak,
against the car. Now the bird.
And to add insult to injury, the person who told us that story had actually driven onto the horse's domain.
Exactly.
The range.
Oh, see, sure. Protecting its territory.
Protecting its turf, so to speak.
Yeah. Right.
So now there might be some of this going on. Where's Alfred Hitchcock when you really need him?
We could discuss all kinds of remedies, but I think you should brick him.
It's only this one bird, huh?
Yeah, it's just the one bird. Well, you know, that is his territory. It's definitely a male. It's got, you know, the nice red or rust-colored breast.
But I know what you need.
Yeah?
You need to get some of those refrigerator magnet things, which are cats.
Oh.
Well, you know, they're pretty small. You really think that's going to work?
Jeez, I don't know. Well, birds are pretty small. Maybe I don't know, but it's certainly worth a shot.
Worth a try. Are there other
Well, it won't stick to those things because those things are aluminum, I believe.
Aluminium. I think they're aluminium.
They may be aluminium, too.
Well, you can use contact paper. That would enhance the look of this vehicle anyway.
Well,
contact paper with pictures of cats on it.
Well, I mean, you can try scaring him away. You could obviously try...
I have done a little bit of that, you know, coming out and yelling, but the next, you know, in the next 15 minutes, it'll be there.
He's back again.
Brick him.
No, he's not doing any harm, and he'll grow out of it. If he's a young bird, as you say, he'll grow out of it. Sure.
All right, well,
I wouldn't worry about it.
See.
We bought an owl, a plastic owl that we put on our kitchen counter because...
Now, there's an idea.
Because our cat... Had the nasty habit of jumping up on the kitchen counter, which some people think is quaint, but I don't like it particularly when my cat puts his butt on the place where I prepare my food.
Yeah.
So whenever I scar him on the kitchen counter, I would gently pick him up.
Besides, you usually sit there, as I recall.
Naked. Buck naked. But I would pick him up and gently throw him out the second floor window.
Gently.
But he didn't get the hint, so we bought the owl.
No kidding. The owl scared
him away until he figured out
that the owl was
dead. The owl was a fake.
Yeah.
Hmm. And he knocked it. I'd have to keep moving it around.
He knocked it off the counter one day.
Oh, I see.
Yeah. But that last time I threw him out the window, that cured him. Because he never came back.
Cured a lot of things, though. No.
Yeah, no, we can't say, I mean, as much fun as it might be to brick him, we obviously can't suggest that for obvious reasons. But I wonder what it would look like.
Well, how did it look when you bricked the cat? Heidi, thanks for bringing this little bit of levity into our lives. Good luck.
Try the cats.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Well, you've squandered another perfectly good hour listening to Car Talk.
You certainly have.
It's never truer than it is this week. Our esteemed producer is Doug the Subway Fugitive, not a slave to fashion, Punkin' Lips Berman. Our associate producer and dean of the College of Auto Musicology is Ken Babyface Rogers. Our engineer and assistant producer is Jennifer Traveling Leisure Loeb. And our technical advisor, still recovering from the North American Free Lunch Victory Tour, is John Bugsy Sebastian, Mr. Height, Sweet Cheeks, Free Lunch, Twinkle Toes, Hula Hips, Donut Breath, Gigabyte, Make That Two Triple Cheeseburgers, Lola. By the way, while my voice is like this, if anyone wants to hire me out to intimidate people.
Oh, yeah. Show them what you can do.
I think I never wanted this for you, Michael. I wanted you to be Senator Corleone. Anyway, our public opinion pollster is Paul Murky of Murky Research. If you were any kind of brother, you'd be reading these. I have
just
no voice.
Our literary critics are Ernest and Julio Hemingway. Our director of congressional funding is Fred Knott. Our director of automotive security is Boris Karlan. Our director of gender studies is Amanda B. Reckoned With. I like that. Our automotive registrar is Megan Waddle. Our director of country music is Stan Byerman. And our child seat tester is, of course, Drew Lee Weiner. Fleet manager is Oscar De Laurentiis. And our director of nutritional supplements is Rose Hips. Our director of Cadillac steering is Toulouse Lautrec. Our director of Cadillac steering is Toulouse Lautrec. Our staff marriage counselor is Marion Haste. Our wardrobe is by Natalie Attired. And, of course, our chief counsel from the law firm of Dewey, Cheatham & Howe is Hugh Lewis Dewey, known around the ice rink as Huey Louie Dewey. We're Click and Clack the Tappet Brothers. Thanks for listening. And don't drive like my brother.
Ditto.
We'll be back next week. So long.
Sets of Car Talk programs are available by calling 303-595-5905. To order this week's show, ask for number 51. You'll get spaghetti and meatballs with garlic bread on the side. These cassettes are made available as a public service from Dewey, Cheatham & Howe.
The best of Car Talk on cassette and CD is also available by calling 303-595-5905. These cassettes and CDs are made available as a public service from the Click and Clack Early Retirement Fund. That number again, which I will say slowly, is area code 303 and then 595-5905. Car Talk is a production of Dewey, Cheatham & Howe and WBUR in Boston.
Celebrating 25 years of radio excellence.
25 years? What about the 8 years that we've been on?
Celebrating 17 years of radio excellence and 8 years of dwindling standards, this is NPR, National Public Radio.
This message comes from NPR sponsor Mint Mobile. From the gas pump to the grocery store, inflation is everywhere. So Mint Mobile is offering premium wireless starting at just $15 a month. To get your new phone plan for just $15, go to mintmobile.com/switch. Support for NPR and the following message come from IXL Online. Is your child asking questions on their homework you don't feel equipped to answer? IXL Learning uses advanced algorithms to give the right help to each kid, no matter the age or personality. One subscription gets you everything. One site for all the kids in your home, pre-K to 12th grade. Make an impact on your child's learning. Get IXL now. And NPR listeners can get an exclusive 20% off IXL membership when they sign up today at IXL.com/NPR.
All that sitting and swiping, your body is adapting to your technology. Learn how and what you can do about it.
I really felt like the cloud in my brain kind of dissipated. Once I started realizing what a difference these little bricks were making, there's no turning back for me.
Take NPR's Body Electric Challenge. Listen to the series wherever you get your podcasts.